You're listening to Michigan Radio. People like cemeteries for a lot of different reasons. They connect us to history. They tell stories about when and sometimes how people died. They're supposed to last forever and get taken care of forever. At least that's the idea. But sometimes cemeteries fall on hard times. Sarah Hewlett reports on a Jewish cemetery on Detroit's east side that was nearly abandoned and the guy who's trying to keep it from crumbling.
David Goldman isn't even from Detroit. He's a Chicago guy.
Oh, this is the one that I meant to glue up. I got to bring some putty.
We're at B'nai David Cemetery, and Goldman just picked up a photograph encased in a glass ball that's fallen off one of the headstones. This is a small, modest graveyard that sits up on a hill. You could easily miss it driving by on Van Dyke. The gravestones are carved in Hebrew, Yiddish, and English. A few years ago, you wouldn't even have been able to see some of them. The weeds had grown so high. Goldman walks over to a grave near the back of the cemetery.
So this is my wife's great-grandmother.
Esther Malkashibovich died in 1918, along with a lot of other people, during the flu pandemic. Goldman says for a number of years after he moved here, he'd visit this grave with his in-laws.
And over the years, we saw the progressive decay of this place, and maybe 4 years ago when we came, it really had hit rock bottom. The grass was higher than the headstones, and it just was a mess.
And the neighborhood wasn't doing too great either. Lisher Cooper was the groundskeeper here in the 90s. For a while, she lived in the caretaker's house that sat on the property. It's gone now. It was used as a drug house and ruined. Cooper says eventually fewer and fewer people came to visit their relatives.
I guess they was afraid because the hookers used to run up and down the street. I chased them across the street.
By the mid-90s, the synagogue that ran the cemetery, B'nai David, had fewer and fewer members and eventually quit holding services. It also used the money from the cemetery's perpetual care fund to try to stay afloat. So the grass grew over the stones, and the gates were only opened a couple times a year. On one of those days, a few years ago, David Goldman was here with his family. His daughter Eva was coming up on her bat mitzvah, and they figured a cemetery cleanup day might be a good service project.
And that first year, we got almost a couple hundred people, and we cleaned it up and raised enough money to get the grass cut.
They started doing the cleanups a couple times a year. Goldman tracked down the burial records and had an online map created. People call him up, looking for their relatives. Not too long ago, he got a call from the Droz family. Gary, Alan, and Ken are brothers. They were trying to track down the grave of an uncle who died long before any of them were born.
He died when he was 2.
This is Gary.
And my dad mentioned that he had a little brother that died, but we didn't know that he was in this cemetery till my brother was doing some genealogy research.
But David Goldman didn't have a Droz in his records. Turns out, whoever carved the gravestone spelled the name wrong. It's a B instead of a D. Once they solved the mystery, the brothers came to find the grave.
See, it's faded on this side, but this you can clearly see, B-R-O-Z, Edwin, 1926, age 2.
And we think he died at or near his birthday.
That's Ken there. Instead of celebrating their son's birthday, his grandparents buried their 2-year-old boy under a stone with the wrong name. For David Goldman, these connections to the past are important. He says that's why he does this.
For me, it's about history, and it's about respecting those who sacrificed and came before us. And I don't know, I feel a strong pull to sort of pay regards and teach my own children, at least, the importance of those who came before us and that we should honor that in some way.
The city of Detroit may soon honor the history of B'nai David, too. A proposal to declare the site an historic district could see a vote before the end of the year. I'm Sarah Hewlett, Michigan Radio News.
Support for arts and cultural reporting on Michigan Radio comes in part from a grant from the Michigan Council for Arts and Cultural Affairs and the National Endowment for the Arts.